and to and Father, to spend time strengthening our marriages, strengthening our relationship. Father, we just pray that in this time we spend together, that we see you clearer. Father, that we are transparent with our lives. Father, we just pray that you do a work in our hearts and in our minds. Father, that we can be ambassadors for you in our homes, in the community, and in the world. Father, we thank you. We just pray that the leaders on the line speak with clarity. Father, that they speak with power. And Father, that they witness through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Festus, why don't you introduce you and your wife, man?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my name is Brother Festus Samoye. I'm over here in Southwest Houston. Living kind of Katy area, but Southwest Houston. I just kind of roam around here. My wife, she's right here. She's real the silent type. She's not the strong type. I said good morning, babe.
Good morning. My name is Keisha Lawyer.
Hey,
that's my wife.
You should have woke her up early, man. You got on this conference call all like that, man.
She hibernates. That's the thing. She hibernates.
Tell us how long y'all been married a long time, right?
Yeah, all 4 months and 4 months and what is this? 4 months and 10 days? 4 months and 11 days. So we've known each other for a while. We've been in church together for a while, but in November of 2011, asked her out, got engaged in May of 2012, and took time to prepare for the ceremony and stuff like that, and they got married in March 9th of 2013. So,
wow. And now, did you read any good books along the way?
Oh my goodness, yes. I read your book, Waiting, Dating, and Mating. That was a really good book. We actually shared that together, I believe. Me and my wife. Also, there's a book by Dr. I think it's Henry Cloud or Thomas Cloud. I can't remember his name.
I know that.
Yeah, boundaries in relationships. Then there was another one by Dr. The one who's over at Second Baptist Church. He had a book called The Ten Commandments of Marriage, and then a book we're still working on right now called Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage, and that's by I got it over here. That is by Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin Smalley. And then of course the Word. There's a lot of Bible study. Tons of Bible study. On everything imaginable.
Sound like you're serious about staying married.
I'm serious about God, and he's serious about marriage. So,
that's right. I like that.
Yeah.
It is about God, and God's serious about marriage. That's powerful, man. I'm not still that. I wish more singles in our churches believe that. Man, well, welcome to the marriage call, man. We on every Saturday from about 8 to 9-ish, and we usually open up with somebody. We can take a couple to tell me something good, maybe, a minute of peace, and then we're going to get off into what we're going to talk about this morning. Somebody tell me something good about your spouse, something going on in your marriage. That's great.
Oh, man. From my standpoint, some of the things I love about about Keisha is that she's willing to submit, and she submits herself to what would be biblical authorities. You know, she submits herself to her parents, to myself, to our pastor, and basically those people who the Bible would say you should submit yourself to, rather than, you know, kind of going her own way all the time. And then I just enjoy the fact that she's willing to sacrifice for the relationship. A lot of people, they, you know, they have that independent spirit where it's kind of like, you know, I'm losing me, or I need my own identity and stuff like that. But she's really growing into us. And those are the, and she's good with money. She's good with money. So that's always a plus.
That was one of your biggest prerequisites, I remember.
Yeah, man. Cause
she got a good credit, man. Come on.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, because nowadays people bad with, you know, it's what is it? The top three things that I'm not gonna go off on a huge tangent, but top three things that spoil marriages is infidelity, money, and family. You know, not having a good relationship with the in-laws and whatnot. You know, so
yeah.
So she's very strong in those three areas.
Well, praise God. Anybody else? Tell me something good.
I'll go, Pastor.
Okay.
This week has been a long, long week, and I've been working a lot of long hours, and yesterday, Courtney came to the grocery store for me, so it was like a huge relief. He noticed, he was like, you've been working a lot, so I'll go ahead and go to the grocery store for you. So it was so nice to come home and those groceries, he carried them all up and everything like that, which I despise going to the grocery store. I don't like it at all. So for him to do that for me was so awesome. So,
praise God. Courtney, you don't like going to the grocery store? Where's Courtney at?
I like going to the grocery store because I get to control the spending money.
I hate going to the grocery store, and I went to the grocery store Monday. Matter of fact, some of y'all, I guess, maybe Tia might be the only one on the line. I don't know if Cassandra got it. But me and Lady Long, Lady Regina, whatever y'all call her, we went Monday. We just hung out the whole day. It was grocery day for her. So we went out to the Y and we played basketball. We was there early, so nobody was there. We had the whole court, man. She was shooting, man, crazy. Getting all kind of shots. So I videoed a couple of the shots, one of the shots. She was hitting. She was hot. And then I went to the grocery store with her, which I totally hate going to the grocery store. But it was a sacrifice, you know. I don't mind eating the groceries. I just hate going to the grocery store. So, you know, that's it. All right, guys. I wanted to, this morning, I wanted to talk about, I know, like, the Trayvon Martin thing is on everybody's mind all over the nation, of course. I think it's supposed to be 100 cities today or something, protest. And on Wednesday, we divided up. At church for Wednesday night Bible study, the men and women group. And I thought, you know, of course, that was fresh on my mind. I just got through writing a blog and some emails about it and stuff. And so it was heavy on my mind. But I started thinking about, you know, not the injustice part of it, which I can't even wrap my mind around the verdict at all. And we're not, see if I discuss that, but because it's such a powder keg as far as discussion goes. You know, to say the least, you know, we're not as far as I would have thought we'd be at this point, 2013. Just on the compassion side and all of that of what happened, people are really being polarized and, you know, and all of that. But one of the things that I extrapolated out of the situation, I started looking at it, and of course, when you're removed from a situation like that, you can, you know, you can look at it hypothetically. We're not directly involved, and I don't know the people directly. So, you know, I started looking at it, you know, the possibilities in the situation. And one of the things that I saw, if you've been watching any of the news, the mom and the dad are constantly together. You know, on the interviews, you know, they're being interviewed together. And, you know, they're doing the press conferences together. They sat in court together. And I thought about it. And, of course, when this happened 16 months ago, whenever it happened, they were not together. They, apparently, he, and I don't know if they still married or whatever, but he was living with his girlfriend on the other side of town. That's kind of how Trayvon ended up on that side of town, because he was with his dad and his girlfriend because he had been suspended. You know, and so he's, for lack of a better term, he's in an alternative universe. What I mean, alternative universe is, had his mom and dad, probably, I know for sure, whatever was the problem before that it split them up, had they stayed together, that situation wouldn't even been on the table. The dad would have been on the other side of town. He would have been on that side of town. Arguably, the dad being in the house with the boy, you know, the boy probably or may not have had the struggle he had at school and got in all the trouble. A lot of times our teenage boys do that in rebellion because dad is not there. And so, I started thinking about all of that, all those possibilities, and basically, you know, even when the case showed up about the family, because it all went back to family. It all went back to mama, daddy, and child. And what it exposed about the black family, just looking at it from that standpoint, not the justice and the injustice, because it don't matter where you was and what was going on. You know, man, the boy was unarmed on his way back home from the store. I mean, you could imagine America that he could get there safely. You know, 10 feet from where he's supposed to be, he's killed. But beyond that, just looking at the hypotheticals of the situation, all of a sudden, at this point, I mean, if it's just for the camera, the media, mom and dad are together. We didn't see girlfriend in press conference. We didn't see the girlfriend at court. We didn't see girlfriend on interviews. Now all of a sudden, it's mom and dad together again. And, you know, in my ministry, you know, we deal with a lot about the battle, the fight,
And so I guess we're going to start this discussion, how to fight for your marriage, how to fight for your home. You know, and there's a scripture base over in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. And it's a powerful scripture. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14 says this, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the best and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible." Watch this. "And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." So this is Nehemiah. And we're just going to use the scripture, not in the context of what he was saying, because it can stand alone, that, you know, as men ought to fight for their, you know, you got to fight. You got to fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And here's the thing. As we fight for our marriages, as we fight for our homes, as wives and husbands fight together, who are we fighting? A common enemy, the devil, okay? As we fight for our homes, we're fighting for our children, even if they're unborn at this point. Some of you guys online, newly married, don't have children yet. You're fighting for your children unborn. You're fighting for your daughters, your sons. You're fighting for other people in the community. Let me tell you why. We've talked about this before on the call. There are people in your family. There are people in your community. Do you not know that as a married couple, you're very conspicuous? People are watching you. People are looking to see, how does it turn out? How will it turn out? And y'all know in the minority community, especially the black community in particular, yo, we don't have happy marriage stories. You know, people come to your wedding just to see how long. People have private conversations talking about, I bet it won't last this long. People see trouble in your marriage and going, it won't be long now. Why? 70% of the black African American women are single. So, I mean, it's like a given. Your stuff ain't gonna work. And I'm telling you, so many times I've gotten calls, and we shared this before, so many times you get calls, maybe from family members and friends. And you can always, I can always tell when the call is like genuine, but my wife knows this, you know, there was particular people, we don't even talk anymore, they used to call, and the first thing they want to know, how's Gina? She doing fine. You want to talk to her? Oh, no. You know what? I'm going to call y'all back. Well, if it went, how's Gina? I don't know how she is. Oh, yeah? What's going on? I ain't seen her. You know, she back over there with her mama. Okay? Then, you know, the story goes a whole, and I'm telling you, and it's unfortunate. I'm sitting in my office looking at this poster that we did, the conference we did in February 12, 2010, forbidding to marry. There is a spirit in the earth. There's a spirit in our culture, in our community, that says, don't get married. It ain't going to work out. You know, don't nobody's marriage work out today, you know? It's going to be miserable. It's going to lead to a life of misery. And that's what people want. So even when we fight, they want to see it. And, I mean, and it's almost a sick thing because, and I think my wife was talking about it, you know, the other day, misery loves company, but it's true. It's like, if ain't nothing worked out for them, when your stuff start not working out, they almost relieve some people. Not everybody. But a lot of people, they got that warped sense about marriage. And it's like, they start hearing bad news, ain't working out. They start, girl, see, I always knew. See, I knew she wasn't no good, she lazy, or whatever, you know. And, man, it's like, you know, so when you fight for your marriage, You got to understand, every marriage is a city sitting on the hill that cannot be hid. They're watching you. The people at your wedding are watching you. Your parents, your in-laws are watching you. Your children are watching you. Their children are watching you. Your siblings are watching you. If you got children, they're watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. You go out online and you start having a discussion and it get kind of loud, watch your neighbors come outside and start peeking through the window. And it ain't even about their concern for safety or nothing like that. They just want to see, they having trouble. You know? So when we fight for our marriages, we fight for a whole bunch of stuff. We're fighting for our community. We're fighting for our brothers and sisters, you know. And many of y'all, I know some of y'all on the call, got brothers and sisters. They watching your marriage to see if they want to be married. You know, you go to the family reunion. They want to know, is you still together? People are intrigued by this. You know, even the celebrity people. You know, that makes big news, man. They broke up. Brad and Angelina Jolie, they broke up. They back together. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. I mean, people, they just want to know this stuff. And secretly, you know, they got one conversation going on the other. Either marriages don't work out. So they watch to see. So as we fight in the spirit realm, and when you get married, and I like what Minister Festus said. You know, God is serious about marriage. I'm serious about God. So if I'm serious about God and God is serious about marriage, I got to be serious about marriage. Now, we have an enemy, right? So just the antithesis of God. If God is serious about marriage, I'm serious about God, so I'm serious about marriage, then what is the enemy serious about? Destroying marriage. That's the whole point. The whole point of the gay agenda, gay marriage and all that, is to desecrate marriage. He wants to destroy marriage. He wants to make marriage into a joke. And we've done that. I mean, you know, I mean, when getting married becomes the prize of a contest on TV, you know, Bachelor. He been in a hot tub with every one of them women kissing her, and all of a sudden, you know, I pick you, and that's she feel like she don't want. Now he's got documented on TV, DVD forever. This dude, I mean, how stable is your marriage gonna be? Everybody in the world just saw this guy kissing 20 different women, and you never she gonna win. She gonna get mad. You mean that thought ain't gonna never cross her mind? Man, you kissed number six. He was really kissing her hard. You know, are you still tweeting number six? Are you still Facebooking number six? I mean, but this is the type of world we live in now, where getting married becomes a prize at the end of the game. The devil wants to make it a joke, bridezillas and all this stuff. You know. Marriage is a big joke, man, you know? And so, according to John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have what? Life. Have it more abundantly. If you got married, he came that you might have life with your mate and have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, you know? And last night, me and my wife, so you know, everybody been talking about temptation. We started trying to watch it. We tried to, but you know, and I know a little bit about the producer and stuff. But it was such a gay look at marriage. It was like, you know, evidently from just the part we saw, you know, the dude wasn't putting it down at home sexually. So this other dude was going to put it down. So she wanted to, she was scared. And, you know, that's not real typical of marriage. I mean, people are cut out for that. when you watch the movie Fallproof, like, that is a more accurate depiction of a marriage breaking down. You know, and I could tell the movie, the Temptation movie, was written for more of a fantasy, than somebody didn't know about marriage. And it was just like, okay. But typically, the Fireproof movie, they hit home. Like, that's how it goes. People start drifting apart. They start arguing about every single thing. They become combative. You supposed to do this. Why you didn't do that? Blah, 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 blah. Then arguing all the time. People get mad. Anger, tempers flare up. Somebody, grab somebody and shake on them. Hey, stop, all this. So it gets physical. People start yelling and spitting in each other's face. Next thing you know, sleeping on the wheel, sleeping on the couch. Intimacy has stopped. People going to their own corners, talking to their respective friends or relatives, getting bad advice. And that's how it crumbles. That's how it breaks down. Then the other woman and the other man steps in. Okay? And that's typically how it goes. And so, what do we got to do to fight? And before I get into answering the punchline, I created the question that this is a fight, or made the statement, this is a fight. I mean, yeah, it's all lovely. Yeah, she do this. He went to the store, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all is good. But we got to understand, we're in a fight, man. We are constantly fighting because there's nothing else in our society. And many times, even in our family. And worst of all, even in many of our churches. I mean, how in the world are you going to church, and the church knows the breakdown of the family, the home, and they're not serious about helping married people and helping married couples intentionally. Doing some retreat once a year or some meeting every 3 months. Man, you need to be checking in with your married couples constantly. Because something happens quickly. So it's a fight. It's a fight every day. And you can get on the positive side of the fight, get out of the crisis, and then start making love deposits and keep that going. But even then, and things calm down and things get real good. Even then, you got to recognize that you're constantly in a fight. You're just on the other side of you. You're not uphill anymore, because y'all have reached that place of what they call in biology, homeostasis, where everything's dealt with a lot of the major issues. But there are other things that are coming. You don't have children yet, and then children coming, and that's coming. There are all kinds of situations where you can agree or disagree or getting striving for whatever. So, I want to hear from a couple of you guys. How do you know? Or even, let's say, looking at your other friends or other man couple, how do you know that what we're saying is true, that you're in a fight, that marriage is, and it's not necessarily fighting each other, but you're fighting a common enemy? I'll take two or three people on that.
Hey, Pam. The reason how I know is because most people, what I've been looking at is most people are giving up. So people only give up when they fail. That's how I know there's an enemy. So people don't give up on good things. They only give up on bad things.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know. They only give up when it's a fight or when it's a struggle. Nobody gives up when it's going good.
Right. That's good.
That's how I know the enemy.
Well, and I can piggyback off of that a little bit. Like, even little things become difficult. Something that, like when you're trying to do something together in your marriage and you're trying to do something, even the small things tend to be, like, it's a struggle. Like, the enemy's trying to come in and, like, some of the small things become struggles. So that's how I know there's a fight, because even those little things that you could do on your own, or if you were single, you wouldn't have any problems, or if you were living with your boyfriend, you wouldn't have any problems. But when you're, it seems like when you're married, it seems like you have to fight harder for even those small things.
Right. Everything becomes magnified. Everything becomes a major issue, you know. And you know that the enemy is doing that, yeah. Anything else? Anybody else?
Hey, Pastor, also I wanted to, you know, like, I wanted, at first I thought it was actually my wife that was making things difficult for me. Kind of like, mm-hmm. Man, you're making it difficult for me. Why can't you just let me do what I know I can do and be done? But that wasn't the case. The case was that she was making it better. But the mm-hmm. thing is, it was me that was fighting her spirit, the spirit of making it better.
Mm.
So I was like, well, then what is this? Now, how about I just let it go and let my wife just help me make it better?
Right.
And then we'd be on the same page.
Right. Right.
And that was it.
Good. That's good. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians 6:12. This is a very common sin scripture, but it's one that we forget all the time. We can start at verse 10 and say, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. You're going to be married. Be strong in the Lord. Can everybody see that and say that? Be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in
not
the Lord.
Not strong hitting somebody upside the head or putting your fist to the asphalt wall or whatever these walls are made of. Putting your hand through the sheetrock and all that stuff. No, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And I'm telling you, you know, I thought that was, you know, nowadays, man, you got to watch out for these sisters. You're talking about putting your hands on somebody. They be them put some hands on you. And me and my wife was listening to one comedian. He was making a joke about it, talking about him and his wife got into it, whatever, or his girl, his wife, whatever. He's talking about, yeah, when the police showed up, police was asking him, hey, do you want to press charges? He's like, no, you need to be acting like, nah, bro. Looking at your face, you need to press charge, you know. And so we got violent women, you know what I'm saying? And people who cannot handle their emotions, all right? People who cannot handle emotions. But the Bible says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your might. So in the marriage, you know, that's a lot of what we do. It's a power
conference
struggle.
Muted.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
This iPhone, man, it's crazy. Anyway, what I was saying was that many times we forget about who we're fighting, okay? So when you look at verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, you know, the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles." That word wiles means the tricks. He has trickery. Now, me and my wife, we're going on 23 years of marriage. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Ain't nobody said amen yet.
Amen.
Somebody needs to say amen to that.
Amen.
But right here is where I think a lot of the confusion comes from. The word wiles means trickery. Y'all remember the old, what is it, Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote? Well, that's what they got the name from, that word wile. They was always trying to trick the Roadrunner, right? And this stuff never worked out. But they got that, you know, from that word, wiles, the wiles of the devil, okay? He has tricks. He has schemes, okay? So it may be even funny, just comically looking at it from the standpoint of Wile E. Coyote. You know, he always setting up dynamite to get to Coyote. He was always trying to roll a big rock down the hill. Right at the time, you know, time it just right. When Coyote was getting ready to come a certain way, he timed the rock just right. But the thing about it was, the Coyote was so quick, he was so witty, he already knew what was going on, that he was able to out-trick the trickster. And I fear in marriage, a lot of times, we're not keen. We're not sagacious enough or sharp enough to really understand what's going on. And in 22 years of marriage, you know, there've been times, like, we'll just come in, like, I'm just gonna be honest, there've been times we were in agreement about something, but we're still arguing about it. We're like, whoa, okay. Back up. You agree with, yeah, okay, I agree with that. Okay, what are we arguing about? Well, and I'm not, you know, trying to make a demon, you know, over, you know, under each rock, but sometimes, I mean, we know it, we figured out at the same time, man, this is the devil. This is the enemy. And so, you know, even in marriage, a lot of times, we like to think, oh, that's just him, or that's just her, or, you know, they just being like that, or, you know, they just, you know, they're just in a bad mood and this and that. But, y'all, a lot of times, they don't even know why they're reacting the way they're acting. They, many times, you don't know why you feel the way you feel. And it becomes a setup. And if you know, you don't have to be married long enough to see, like, when certain things happen, and you can go back and objectively look back, okay, this happened, and then that happened, and then this happened, and then that happened, and it all led to this. So was all that a coincidence? No. It was a wile of the devil. It was a plan. It was a trick. It was a trick, just like that guy I always talk about that I work with that time, all right? he at work, it's his birthday. It's his second year going on the second year marriage. He's been married for a year. And this chick sends, this old girlfriend sends a picture, Facebooks him or whatever, sends him a picture of her bending down in a thong. Okay? Now, at the same time, you know, that's the first part of the plan. He talking to his wife on the phone. They get into a little heated discussion. He go home. It's his birthday. He expecting this and that. She ain't done nothing because she mad. That's piece two. Piece three, the girl hit him back and say, did you still want some of this? That's piece three. Now, I mean, it's like one in a million. All those things, those elements come together at the same time. Then his boy called him, the noodle girl, talking about, some, hey, man, what's going on, man? Me and my wife, man, she on a trip. Man, come on, man, let's go get some beers. So now he out the house. Piece number four. Now, from the outside, or from cheaters or something, it just look like this dude, he just want cheaters. Nah, it's been set up. It was skillfully set up by the devil. So he's gonna get the text that morning, then the devil gonna interject something, him and his wife gonna get into it, she's gonna get offended, he's gonna come home expecting something that wasn't there because she mad, she didn't cook, she didn't do nothing, no birthday cake, no birthday suit, nothing. They still arguing about some nonsense. I mean, something that ain't nothing. Bam, he gets another text from this girl. You still want it? He gets a call from his boy. Let's go get some beers. Man, that's a wrap. If you're fighting in the flesh. And it was all set up by the devil. It was all set up by the enemy. It was all set up by the enemy. The whole thing, all set up by the enemy. Just today, you get some new perfume and you want your husband to smell it, he got sinus problems. Then you go to work, Mr. Stella got a groove back from the Caribbean, talking with the accent. He smell you, we get on the elevator. He got something to say. All of a sudden, here come the devil. Your husband never noticed you like that. I mean, stuff like that all the time. Set up. So we got to understand that we got an enemy that want to destroy our marriage. So when we fight, we're fighting on so many different levels. There's so many different levels. You know, we're fighting on levels we don't even know about. Like hypothetically to the very emotionally charged Trayvon case, you know, just hypothetically, mom and dad have worked it out, you know. That boy would have never been in that situation. If they had fought a little harder, now they're fighting together now for his justice. Why they couldn't fight together to keep their marriage intact? There's all kind of different extenuating circumstances, but the bottom line, like Courtney said, people just give up. That's the bottom line. People give up on their man, they give up on their home, they give up on their relationship. And then go out and act like there's going to be something better out there. Ain't nothing better going to be out there. You're going to get yourself in some mess. So here I am, helping the dude fight at the beginning, he showed me the picture at work on his birthday. I said, bro, you better erase that right now. Number two, don't call that girl back again. Number three, go home and tell your wife immediately. See, I'm helping him fight. Because I've already fought that battle and won. So not only even on this line, you know, when we talk about our different issues and problems, man, you don't even know you being transparent and accountable. You don't even know you're helping somebody else on the line. You're learning how to fight, and then you help a fight for other people and other folks' marriages and other folks' children. When me and my wife help other people fight, we helping their children. Their children don't even know we helping them. Because you pull that man out of that house, you put that woman in a situation she got to provide for everything and everybody, and she pulling dudes in and out. Man, you got a whole other alternative universe. That's what happened. And if they stayed together and fought and kept their family and their home intact, everybody follow me. So, what can we do to fight? Real simple. Real simple. Number one is love one another. Love one another. Number one is love one another. Walk in love. 1 Corinthians 13. Who been using the love scriptures constantly? Anybody want to comment on that? Y'all hear me still?
Yes, didn't understand the question.
No, the question is, and we've got people on the line, and I need y'all to talk up, man, because we're recording and we lose time. But anybody on the line been using the love scriptures that we've been talking about? Yeah.
For my marriage, the love scriptures, since I learned it, has been the foundation. So
right,
I've just been building on the foundation, and everything else is just coming along. So
praise God. That the love scripture says, man, I don't care how good you are, and we find this a lot in marriages. People are very good at their respective professions, and they have talents and giftings. Many times people are building businesses, corporations, and working for different people and doing very well. But Paul said, if you accomplish all this stuff and you don't have love, and I'm going to put love for your spouse, what good is it done?
Mm.
He says, I'm only a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I speak to tons of men and of angels. Have not love. I have all these prophetic powers and giftings. Have not love. I understand the mysteries and possess all the knowledge and have not love. I'm nothing. I'm useless, according to the Amplified. So if we don't have love, we cannot be spiritual adults. We may have gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives, but we don't have love. We aren't walking in love with others. We're useless. We're nobodies. Nothing we do counts to God. And that's how important love is. All right? Okay, so here's some keys to fight for your marriage, and we're almost over. Number one, you got to be unselfish. It's not about you. Jesus said, any man that will come after me, let him first what? Deny himself. If you're going to be married, you got to end up signing up for self-denial. You signing up to not get needs met sometimes. And people don't tell you that. They don't say that in marital counseling. Sometimes your need going to be put on the back. And we ain't talking about being, you know, having children. Your need is going to be put way to the back. I can't tell you the last time I bought me some tennis shoes. I'm still wearing two pairs of Jordans from like 5 years ago. Kept them in good condition. Man, my kids need shoes every 2 weeks. So you're going to be, especially husbands, man, you got to be just giver, 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 unselfish, love your wife like Christ loved the church, gave himself for. I mean, that's your job, man. That's your job. That's your job. You know? And earlier this year, you know, and I'm not saying this playing myself on back, but I'm just letting y'all know. Like earlier this year, you know, we had I bought my wife. She misplaced her ring, or she cooks a lot and takes it off. So I had to replace her ring, and so we replaced the ring. And it wasn't the ring that I wanted to get at the time because I didn't have the money to get the one I wanted or the one she wanted. So I replaced the ring, paid that ring off. And then I wanted to upgrade her to get the ring I really wanted, the ring she wanted. So what I did was, now, I had my wedding band for time. And it was, you know, it was more valuable than I thought it was. So what I did was I sold my wedding band, her older wedding band, which gave us enough money to, you know, and not to have to do it on credit, which we could have done, but just wanted to pay it out all right. So we have no money to buy her the ring that she wanted and the ring that I wanted. And so then I dumbed down to a lesser ring. I mean, I ain't no big adorning dude, no way. So, you know, in the meantime, and I don't know if I'll ever get another one. I don't care. But the thing about it was being unselfish to give to her so that I could make sure that she had what she wanted. And she's not a demanding, materialistic person. But I wanted to do that. That's unselfish. Not thinking about yourself. And especially men, on the men's perspective. Everything we do, we got to do it for our wives and our children. Once again, I'm going to keep beating it over and over till you start saying it to your friends when you're talking to them. Listen, on the Titanic, 1,500 people died, only 100 women. Why? Because the men on that ship put the women and children first. They gave unselfishly. All right? So you got to be unselfish. You got to be unselfish. Love gives. Love always thinks of the other person first. The other person first. Meeting their needs first. Okay? The second thing. Be adaptable. That's everybody. Everybody got to be adaptable. Ephesians 5:21 through 22. Be subject one to another out of reverence for Christ. And so, yeah, ultimately the wife should submit. But, you know, don't just jump up like, I ain't got to listen to that. Because a lot of times it might be the better idea. Or if y'all are doing something together, if she wants to do something else, how about, you know, do what she wants this time? You know, and it's not even tit for tat. Sometimes you're going to do what she wants 5 times. Till she get the key, hey, she be doing what I want all the time. Let me do something what he wants, you know. But it's never a demand thing, you know. It's, well, what about my time? You know, you get that immature married people. You know, I did that for her. Now what's she going to do for me? I did that so she could go back to school. Now it's my time to do something. Now, if you did it for that, you did it for the wrong reason anyway. No, be subject to one another out of reverence to Christ. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourself to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. You've got to adapt. Women have to adapt to their husbands. I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, as far as the order of God, you got to be able to adapt. There's going to be things, I guarantee you, that even a godly husband hearing from God, you know, hearing directly from God, there's going to be things that God's going to tell him to do that you're not going to want to do. You know, you're going to want to do something, you're going to say, nah, I think the Lord said we need to wait on that. You're not going to want to wait. But, you know, ultimately, if y'all talk it out and there's a disagreement, you know, and the man says, I'm going to lead out on this one, you got to submit to him. And of course, we're not advocating that a wife should submit to her husband, beats, abuses the children, or anything like that. Okay? But we're talking about godly submission. Godly submission. And then the last thing, you got to forgive. Well, the second to the last thing, you got to forgive. You've got to forgive quickly. Quickly. Now, here's another trick of the enemy. I forgive you, but then you constantly letting the devil bring that up against your spouse all the time in your mind. You constantly letting them bring it out of your mouth again towards them. Nah, if you forgive, forget it. Don't even bring it up no more. Because literally that's why God forgives us. Bible says he won't bring it up against us anymore. That's what the Bible says. He will not bring it up against us anymore. And that takes a lot of discipline, you know, not to go back and stuff and be talking about the faults and flaws and wrongdoings of your spouse in the past. But the Bible says you got to forgive. You got to forgive. And even if it's something like infidelity and stuff like that, if you agree to stay, then you agree to forgive. Don't stay and then hold it over the head as a power tool. You gotta walk. You gotta walk. You gotta walk in forgiveness. The Bible tells us clearly that we forgive one another as Christ forgave us. How do He forgive us? The Bible says He threw our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will not bring it up against us anymore. And in our relationship with God, the only person that continues to accuse us of past mistakes is the devil. He is the accuser of the brother that is literally cast out of hell, because that's what he constantly does, cast out of heaven. He goes before God, tries to accuse us constantly. And then lastly, take the word of God literally. Just do what the word says. Take the word of God literally. Do what the word of God says. Okay? And you know, sometimes we don't want to do what the word of God says. You know, we've been in marriage, and see, me and my wife, we know the word. But one person will bring up the word, well, the word said we do it. You know. You know, somebody say, hey, look. This ain't about the Bible right now. Yes, it is. Yeah, they basically say, I don't care what the Bible say right now. Nah, this don't make no sense. Well, okay, let's do the word. No, I know what the Bible say, but everything ain't spiritual. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It all falls under the word of God. The Bible clearly says that walking in love locks the enemy out, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says if you want to live a good life and you want the blessings of God to flow in your life, go eagerly and pursue the love of God. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your greatest quest. Okay? To eagerly pursue the path of love. Eagerly pursue. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13:5-7 says this, and I'm done. Love, man, if married couples just did this one part of the verse, or that chapter, love takes no account of the evil done to it. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. I mean, that's the answer to all of it. You got both spouses doing the same thing, trying to go the same direction, trying to please each other, trying to love each other, not looking out for themselves, looking out for their own cookout, looking out for the cookout for the other person, looking out for the other person, considering the other person first. First. Man, how can we lose with that? questions or comments as we close the call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Jackie Williams, and I came in on the call. I came in on the call a little late, but I'm on it, and I just kind of wanted to
say y'all before she started talking. Jackie is the coach that coached me and my wife for years at the other church. She was over the management. You still over the marriage ministry?
Yeah, I still do a little bit. I do. Basically working with the wives right now until we get ready to do the couples all together. But, yeah, I'm doing some things with the wives. We actually have a meeting later today. But I saw the message a little late, got on, and just wanted to comment. Lorenzo and I celebrated our 32nd wedding anniversary last week. And when you were talking about 1 Corinthians 13, that's our hallmark scripture at our church. But even before that, that was the hallmark scripture for our marriage. Because what I've learned is that if I put my name in where it says love, then that's my self-check. And so I get a chance to check myself and see where I'm lacking. And so if couples could start doing that, put your name in where it says love, and then see, do I measure up to what this is saying? And I know God, he always has a way of letting us know where we're coming up short. So that's something that I do on a regular basis when I'm feeling like something's not in sync. I go back and look at that love scripture and start putting my name in to see what I need to build up a little bit. So that's just my encouragement for the couples. It's a walk that it takes time, it takes patience, but it is, like I always say, it is doable, especially when you put God first. So if you put your name in that love scripture and start walking that out, I guarantee you it's going to produce some good results.
Wow. And so in other words, I would say, instead of love is patient, love is kind, Rondi is patient, Rondi is kind.
There you
Rondi
go.
Rondi takes no account of the evil done to it. Rondi pays no attention to herself or wrong. Wow. Rondi bears up under anything, everything that comes. Hey, that's powerful
it.
Right there. That's powerful, guys. You know, and that's a self-check. That's awesome, Sister Jackie. Thank you for being on the call. You know, and like I said, you know, she and her husband, and even she was believing for her husband before her husband even got saved and got in the church. It was her love that drew him in. And, I mean, now he's just, you know, I think he stayed longer in church than her at this point. They're both in leadership at the church. But, you know, it was her love. It was her love. And then she taught that to the young couples at our church that we were at before. And just that mentorship. And then here we are teaching another group. And so.
Hallelujah.
The scripture we came from Sister Jackie was Nehemiah 4, and I think it was 4:14. Was that right,
uh-huh.
there? And it talks about fight, you know, fight for your family and fight for your wives. And then we're just talking about how marriage is a fight, you know, and you got to fight for it. And sometimes, you know, you might not see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. And one preacher, you know, he said, every time he saw a light at the end of the tunnel, it ended up being another train or something, you know. But you stay in there, and you continue to fight because you're not only fighting for yourself, you're fighting for your children, you're fighting for people that's looking on, your extended family and whatnot, you know. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. Man, God bless you, Jackie, for being on. Anybody else? before we close it out?
I just want to thank you for hosting the line. It was a good line.
But praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else?
I just want to thank you for, you know, that last word. You know, you, like, we can replace our name with love, because I really needed to hear that. You know, Courtney is patient, Courtney is kind, you know. You
yeah.
know, I need to hear that. Because, you know, if we even think of, you know, putting Jesus, you know, God is patient, God is kind, which he is. Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, which he is. So we need to be the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, we need to be just like God.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Anybody else before we get off? Gina, you want to take us out in prayer? You got anything to say?
Yes, I was just kind of just really thinking about what Jackie said, the last thing she was talking about, how if you walking in love, a lot of times there can be some tension or something going on, and the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in love, he'll lead you to do something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be anything serious, just a small thing, and it'll squish all the tension because you're walking in love. It'll get fixed through your love walk. And the only other thing I thought about is that, you know, your whole life, the principle of a life of a human being is based on reaping and sowing, and that's another reason why you should be careful about your actions and the things you say, because whatever you sow, you're going to reap the harvest of it. And, you know, the devil is watching and listening to everything, and he's going to take advantage of it. So, and that was based on something you said earlier. But other than that, that's all I had to say, wanted to say.
Well, go ahead and pray for us.
Okay, Father God, we thank you, God, for this time, Lord. We thank you for all of the couples that are on the line, Lord. We thank you for their willingness to join in on the line, Father, so that they could learn how to fight for their marriages, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that everything that was said today is not in vain, Lord. I thank you that they will take all of these principles and take your word, the scripture, Lord, and that they will apply to their lives, apply to their relationships, Father God, so that they can have strong marriages, so that they can be witnesses for you in the earth of what marriage is supposed to be, Lord, so that they can not only be a witness of what marriage is on earth, but, Lord, with the relationship between Christ and the church is. Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Father God. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us now. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do for us in the future, and not only what you're going to do for us, but what you're going to do through us, Lord, because we're applying your word to our lives. We love you. We give you praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, Sister Jackie, we're going to call you in a second. We're going to call you in a second. All right.
Okay.
Hey, God bless you guys. Hey, y'all have a good and prosperous day. Do something sweet for your mate today. Tell him something good. You know, slap him on the behind. Something. You know what I mean? Keep it moving. All right. All right. God bless y'all.
All right. Be blessed.